UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
And it is dispatch. Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to the show. I cannot believe it's December already. How are you all doing? I'm Nick Hunter and this is the UFO Chronicles podcast. Tonight's guest is Matt in Colorado and he has 2 UFO sightings to share with us. He had been living all summer in his RV when he witnessed a close-up UFO over the mountain ridge. Matt is also an experienced small airplane pilot, so he's more than familiar with what it wasn't. Matt is up next. But first, if you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to patreon.com/UFO Chronicles podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Nick. It's great to be on. Heard your show in the past and enjoyed it.
Good stuff. It's great to have you with us today, and you're calling from Colorado.
Yeah, Colorado, United States. Don't tell anybody, but it's the best state. And don't tell them because we don't want them all moving here.
I've heard. Now, Matt, you have some experiences you're going to share. Would you like to start at the beginning, please, sir?
Yeah, and just I'd like to throw a couple little sort of background stuff out there so it sets the context. I'll try and keep that a little bit short and try and get to the experience. I think it'll help people sort of understand it a bit better or maybe answer some questions before they come up. So yeah, I was always interested in UFOs my whole life. At the time this happens, which is the summer, August of 2022, I'm 55 years old, so I've been interested in UFOs for decades and always wanted to see one, kind of wished for, prayed for, seeing one, never saw one my entire life. And so that's the backstory. So it's not like I've had a lot of sightings in my life. This is the first one. And so, yeah, this takes place in the state of Colorado, pretty much in the middle of the state where the Colorado Rockies go through. And pretty high up in the Rockies. So the location, I'm not going to be too specific, but it's like a mountain subdivision. Not too many houses up there. This is not a town. We're not in the city. And the elevation where I'm at is 9,300 feet. So for people that want to think meters or on that system, you know, that's probably 3,100 meters. So it's pretty high up there, high alpine, you know, pine trees, aspen trees, that sort of thing. And where I'm located is pretty much at the top of this ridge. And a dirt road is going through this little subdivision. There's occasional cabins, but there's also a lot of vacant lots, and people will come park RVs on them, or they haven't built a house on them yet. And I parked on one of those lots in, you know, a camp trailer, an RV, for the summer. So that's the location. I'll also say this place, that this area I'm at, this little subdivision, I did own a house up there for 20 years. And at the end of that, lived there full time for 3 years, really just a mile up the road from where I'm parked. So I'm very familiar with the location, the geography. You know, this is not just a place I arrived at that night and didn't know the terrain or anything like that. And I had spent the whole summer out there, and I'm a trained private pilot. And so, you know, I'm familiar with aircraft. That'll tie into the story. And, you know, so I watched the planes fly around all summer and occasional helicopters. And so then to the night of the sighting, then I had been doing a radio show. It's that started at 8 p.m. So it started before dark because it's summer and stays light pretty late, and then ends at about 10 p.m. And so by now it's dark. So for good cell phone reception, I had to get in my truck and parked a little ways away from my camper, because being in the camper and some nearby trees, I didn't have cell reception. So that's the picture. That's the setting. I'm up high in the mountains. I'm sitting in my truck. I'm facing south. My truck is facing south. And I've just finished a radio show. I'm still sitting in my truck. And then all of a sudden, something catches my attention, not totally my peripheral, but to the left slightly of looking straight forward. And it's in my driver's side mirror. Okay. And I see this bright light, and like really bright. So this catches my attention. I'm like, what is that? And so I look into the mirror at this light, and I can tell from the angle that this is up in the air. This is not a car behind me on the road, and it's just a bright white light. This is not car headlights. So it's immediately kind of odd. And I look at it for a second or two, and I'm like, wow, you know, what the F is that? And so I open the truck door and I get out, because obviously it's behind me, and I walk maybe 10 steps away from the truck and face it. I see this bright white light, but it's moving very slowly. And I see in front of it is a red light, but the white light is higher than the red light, and it's moving out from behind these trees. So these are Douglas fir trees. They're 100 to 120 feet tall. You know, they're pretty old, pretty tall trees. So it's not above the trees. So it's, or the angle of view I have, it's two thirds of the way up. So there's trees to my left hand side, which is where it's coming out of or appearing from behind those. And then there's a clearing area with no trees. And so there's this leading red light, and then up higher than that is a white light. And then as it continues to come appear from behind these trees pretty slowly, then there's a green light in the rear. And this green light is at the same level as the red light. So if you imagine a triangle, and basically a right triangle. And so the angles would be 45 degrees on the two sides and 90 degrees at the top up to this white light. And in the first, it probably only took 1 second in real time for my mind to do. I guess this is common. I didn't know about this at first, but my mind went through this process very quickly of trying to figure out what the heck I'm looking at, right? So it's like a process of elimination. And so I started with like airplane. And I'm like, no, it's way too low to be an airplane. And it's not shaped like an airplane. And it's flying way too slow to be an airplane. Airplanes can't fly that slow. So then I go to helicopter. No, if it was a helicopter and that close to me, I would hear it. You know, I sat up there all summer and had helicopters fly over, and I hear them coming from 5 miles away, and I hear them leaving for 5 miles. And this is making no sound whatsoever, totally silent. So I'm like, not a helicopter. Then I'm start grasping at straws and some kind of drone or something. And I'm like, no, I've been around drones. Those things are really loud too. And there's no sound and it's bigger than a drone. So I've kind of gone through, and like I said, 1 second, I've eliminated all normal, regular aircraft and explanations. So I realize I'm seeing something really bizarre and unique. And so I have this idea pop into my head immediately. I need to grab my cell phone, which I just used to be on the radio show, but it's in my truck. Oh, man, get the cell phone, you know, take videos, get pictures. You got to document this. So I turn to walk back to my truck to get the cell phone. I take 2 steps, and it was, I don't know if it was a thought in my head or a voice in my head, but it was like, no, don't get the cell phone. Well, I'm the kind of guy that pays attention to that sort of thing. So I'm like, okay. So I turned back around and returned to looking at it. Now it's moving slowly and it's hard to estimate the distance. And you have to know the distance to give you, you know, to estimate the speed. You know, something real far away can be going fast, but it looks like it's moving slow. But based on my distance calculations, it's going maybe 8 miles an hour. And so from my line of sight, it looks like it's, you know, max 200 feet in the air with the angle. Maybe it's above the trees, but the trees are closer to me. So I'm seeing it appearing to be behind the trees. So I'm thinking it's 200 feet in the air. It's going about 8 miles an hour. And then I've done a lot of thinking, you know, in the more than a year since about how big it was and how far away it was. And my best calculations are that it was somewhere around 800 feet to 1,000 feet away. And my best guesses are, depending on that distance, that it was somewhere between 60 feet across to perhaps 100 feet across, you know, in length. And it was probably 30 feet tall. So that's my distance, speed, and size. And then as I'm watching it, now I know I'm seeing something really abnormal here. And, you know, call it a UFO. I know at this point it's some type of, let's say, anti-gravitic ship, right? Anti-gravity craft. And so because of that, I'm trying to pay attention to every detail and everything about it and make a very close observation. And I noticed, and I had noticed this earlier, the front red light is sort of blinking, but I wouldn't call it a blink. What it would do is it would sort of glow brighter, and it would stay brighter for like a second or two, more like 2 seconds, and then it would slowly dim, but it would stay on. It never went away. The top white light was constant. The rear light, the green light, did the same thing. And it was in unison with the red light. So you have these slowly pulsing increasing intensity glowing lights, but they didn't blink like an airplane. And airplane lights blink once per second, and they kind of twinkle, blink, 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 blink. So it was very different than an airplane light. And like I mentioned, being a pilot, I know on an airplane, you've got a green light on one wing and a red light on the other wing. And that's so you can identify when you're flying, if a plane is coming towards you or flying away from you, by which side the colored light is on, right? So if the green's on the right, it's headed at you, you better take evasive action. If it's red on the right, you know, it's flying in the opposite direction, you're not going to run into it. So that's why they do that. Well, this is shaped like a triangle, so it can't be a plane. You're not going to have one front and back. Planes don't have that. So it continues across this opening in the trees. They're, you know, call it a clearing. And so I have a clear line of sight at it. And it maintains a completely horizontal path. It's not going up or down. It doesn't change speed. It seems very obvious to me it's one craft. It's not three different lights flying in formation. It just moved as one thing. So it seemed like one thing with three lights on it. I would assume the craft was, you know, sort of pyramid shaped and the lights were at the front, back, and top. It was really dark that night, and the lights weren't bright enough that it illuminated if it was a solid ship. I couldn't see the ship or craft, right? I'm just seeing the lights. Now, I get to watch it. I replayed it in my mind. I get to watch it for probably a total of 12 seconds, which doesn't seem that long, but it's one of those things where time slows down, like if you're having a car accident or something that, you know, or time dilation, or like if you're having a dream and time was dilated. So it was really long in my mind. And that's actually a pretty long time to have a sighting like this. Well, the reason that it ended was because after this clearing, there's more trees, which are on the other side of a dirt road that's going vertically down this. And so it goes behind those trees, and I can still get kind of these flicker of lights as it goes in between gaps in the trees. And so I proceed to walk after it and see if I can keep following it or see where it goes, and I lose sight of it. So that's pretty much the sighting itself in terms of the pragmatic details. Now, one interesting thing, I guess, to share about it from an experiential point of view was that when I first went out of the truck and saw it, and after the 1 second where I went through the alternatives and went, no, this is something very abnormal and unusual and unexplainable. This interesting thing happened when I first thought to get my camera. Nick, I couldn't move. I wanted to go get my phone and camera, but my feet were like glued to the ground. I'm not sure I could even lifted my hand. It's like my body was paralyzed. I don't think that was some effect of the ship doing something to me or anything. I think it was a natural sort of fear response that humans have. You've identified a predator or a threat or something you can't figure out, so you immediately become motionless. and you know, small animals will do that. They, you know, a mouse sees a hawk or a coyote and it'll freeze, so it can't be seen. So I had that sort of fear freeze reflex response. And so that lasted like maybe 1 second, but I noticed that a little bit at the time, but when I recalled the experience, it was more profound. I was like, wow, that was a really weird part of it. And then I'm going to skip ahead here to another thing I found very interesting about this experience. And that is at the time it happened, immediately after, I made a phone call and told a friend, or one of my best friends, what had just happened. And I mean, I had to tell somebody. But after that, I didn't tell anyone else for at least 7 months. But here's the really odd thing. I actually forgot about it or didn't think about it. Like, it never occurred to me. I can't remember if I like thought about it the next day or two. I probably did. I probably remembered it the next day and thought about it for a couple of days. But then it just seemed to disappear from my mind. And I'm the kind of guy, I got a pretty good memory. This is an event I've been waiting my whole life for. You would have thought I'd been thinking about it a lot, maybe even telling some other friends or family member about it. But it just disappeared from my conscious mind. And I didn't think about it for more than 6 months. And then one day it just popped back in. I was like, holy crud, Matt, you know, you saw a UFO. How could you forget about that? And so then I told my brother, and he's not the kind of person that's going to be a naysayer or not believe me. And he's an open-minded guy. So it's not like I had any fear of telling him or another family member or a different friend. I just, for some reason, forgot about it and didn't tell any friends about it. And I've wondered about that. And I think it was almost a repressed memory, or when people have a traumatic event, you know, maybe in childhood or something real intense happens to them, it becomes a repressed memory. Your mind can't deal with it and can't explain it and doesn't want to deal with it. So it files it and buries it away. And so that was an interesting part of the process and experience for me. And then once I remembered it, I thought about it every single day for months. I couldn't shake it. It was just really important for me to remember it and contemplate it. I didn't think it was a particularly amazing sighting based on some you hear about and stuff. And then I was listening to your show and listening to different sightings and experiences. And I thought, you know, a lot of times people, they see some cool stuff, but it's more like lights in the sky, or they make interesting, you know, unexplainable movements or things like that, but they're usually pretty far away. And so I thought, you know, I had technically what's called a close encounter of the first kind, which I guess part of the definition is within 500 feet away. So I'm close on that at 800 to 1,000 feet. And so the other thing, like I said, it was really low elevation. So it's close and flying low. And I thought, maybe it's a more interesting sighting than I thought it was, and perhaps a good one to share. And I, you know, had right about that time been listening to your show. And I thought, maybe I should contact Nick and see if he wants to have me on the show and tell my story. And before I leave that story, because I do have a second one that I would like to share too. Before I leave that one to go to the second one, there's another really weird part of that night, of what happens after I have the sighting. I get back in my truck, I call my friend to tell her, and I'm all pretty excited, and I got adrenaline going through my body, and I'm telling her the story. And in the middle of that, I don't know, 5 minutes into telling her, now I'm facing forward the opposite direction. I'm sitting in my truck. And I see this bright light appear in front of my eyes that you could say was like as big as a bright star. If you're looking at Venus or Jupiter, you know, total first magnitude. So about that size, but maybe even a bit brighter. It's right in front of me. But here's the weird thing, Nick. It's not outside my truck. It's not in the sky. It almost appears to be like at my windshield, 2 or 3 feet away from me, 2 feet away from me. So this bright light appears, and then another one appears real close to it, like a couple inches away. And then fairly quickly, about 5 more appear. And this may sound weird, but it looked like a geometric form, but not one you would recognize. There was seemed like some math or geometry behind it, but it wasn't a regular polygon or, you know, octagon or hexagon or something like that. But they seemed to be configured a certain way. And then, but they're all stationary. And then all of a sudden, in unison, they very quickly move, and in relationship to each other, they all move and sort of form something different. And this all happens very fast. And then they zoom straight at me at light speed. If you picture Star Trek, when they jump into warp speed and it's whew, and it just flies straight at me and either goes into my eyes or through my head or something like that. And I'm still on the phone with my friend, and I screamed. And I screamed as I was seeing it, what is that? What is it? Oh my God. Oh my God. And then when it did that thing and zoomed at me, I screamed out loud. And I was so shooken up. I was breathing hard. I wouldn't say hyperventilating, but I was really freaked out. And the interesting thing is, I had a more intense reaction and was more freaked out than what I had just seen with the craft flying by, you know, in the mountains. And I don't know what the heck that was. I know, you know, there's this thing, you know, I'm sure you're familiar or listeners are with prana, like life force energy that you see as little sparkling white lights, almost looks like snow. And you're kind of seeing perhaps etheric energy, and you're seeing it with, you know, what they call your third eye. But I've seen that since I was 12 years old and seen it my whole life. And that's not at all what this was. These lights were much bigger than anything I've ever seen with kind of seeing energy, third eye type thing. Yeah, I'd never seen anything like that. And how weird it was that this happens within 8 minutes after seeing a UFO. I don't know what to make of that. I can't explain it, but it's an interesting part of the story. Now, I just want to give my tentative or analysis about what I saw in terms of the craft I saw. And I contemplated this and gone back and forth on it. And I know it wasn't anything normal aircraft type thing. From its speed and lack of sound, I'm thinking it's an anti-gravitic craft. And so I'm going to go with two basic ideas would be, this would be an alien craft, not from Earth, or this is a U.S. government reverse engineered anti-gravitic craft. Okay, we could start with 50-50. But I have to wonder why, if it was a government craft, they would be flying low through the mountains at 10:15 at night, you know, doing practice drives with their craft in the middle of nowhere. I mean, I'm so far from military bases and airports, and why would they be doing that? And that's a pretty risky to be flying that low and through the mountains. And though I'm sure if they've got those things, which I think they do, they're probably pretty expensive. I don't know. That's possible. There is in Colorado, the NORAD, you know, Central Command and Control, you know, for all our military, but that's on the whole eastern side of the state. Could it have been a government craft that had flown out of, you know, that area and were flying around at night for whatever reason? Yeah, that's possible. Could it have been an alien craft? Well, certainly that's possible. And for a long time, I just considered it was more likely a government craft. I don't know why. Part of it was I actually tried to communicate with it telepathically and spoke something out loud. I skipped this part of the story. I was trying to just describe the events and physical details. But when I knew it was a UFO, I was, if you're beings of love and light and benevolent, you have my permission to come closer to me, you know, come closer. But if you're not, stay the heck away, and you do not have my permission, because I'm like, I don't want to deal with these gray aliens and be abducted. I don't like them. I'm of the mindset there's sort of good guy aliens and bad guy aliens. So I made an invitation out loud and telepathically to communicate with it, and I got no response. So at that point, I'm going, either they were bad guys and stayed away, or it wasn't extraterrestrial, so the telepathy didn't work. So maybe it was just a government craft. So I don't know what it was. I'm not saying it was a alien spacecraft. I certainly don't know, and I'm not making that claim. I am very absolutely convinced it was an anti-gravity craft for all the reasons I said. So that pretty much wraps up that that story and my first encounter.
Based in southeast coastal Georgia, Coastal Preparedness Supply is dedicated to helping ordinary folk achieve advanced preparedness and maximum self-sufficiency under any circumstances at affordable prices. Their message is simple: plan ahead before disaster strikes. In these unprecedented times, it's vital to be prepared. Whether it's the looming threat of war or another pandemic, a power outage, or even a job loss, you can always be ready to help not only yourself, but friends, family, neighbors, and even strangers as well. Full spectrum preparedness is essential as uncertainty mounts. Coastal Preparedness Supply is here for you. Whether you're new to prepping or well seasoned, casually interested or passionately devoted, visit coastalprepsupply.com/UFO now to take advantage of a site-wide holiday season discount, and use the discount code UFO at checkout for free shipping on selected items, or hit the link below to access this offer. Again, that's coastalprepsupply.com/UFO. Coastal Preparedness Supply, your one-stop shop for all your survival and emergency preparedness needs. Interesting. We look at the fact that there's a possibility that it could have been governmental. There is some very strange stories which circulate with government secret projects and especially abductions, that kind of thing. So, you know, you can never rule that out. But these lights that you saw, that's the strange bit. These lights that you saw in front of your cab.
After seeing the ship?
Directly after, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was 8-10 minutes later.
When those lights came at you, do you remember feeling anything other than screaming? Is there anything that you felt?
Well, they might have been, I don't know if they were physically there or not, or I'm seeing them in sort of my mind's eye or interdimensionally or something like that. I had the feeling I was seeing, I don't know how to explain it, sort of a interdimensional energy coming into the third dimension and presenting itself to me for some reason, and either giving me a show or like a blast of energy or maybe some information, like people talk about downloads, you know. I had the feeling it was a visitation. Let me put it that way. It was a visitation, a demonstration, a visitation. I don't know.
You also didn't make the invitation.
Right. Oh, and, you know, maybe those were the benevolent ETs. They're like, no, you just saw a government craft, or maybe those were the gray aliens, but you made the invitation to the benevolent beings, so here we are.
We were in the vicinity.
Yeah, I did just recall two other tidbits I wanted to mention. So this is almost the punchline of the story. So I mentioned I had gotten off this radio show, Troubled Minds. Shout out to Michael Strange and TroubledMinds.org. So they talk about paranormal stuff and a lot of interesting topics on that show, which is why I'm on it. I'm interested in that sort of thing. Well, that night's discussion had been somewhat about the multiverse and sort of like things got up into maybe aliens or interdimensional beings, or are there things like angels? And, you know, it got off into that kind of topics. And I had called into the show like I usually did. Actually, the show topic that night was kind of along those lines, and in particular about multidimensional beings, which that was the majority of my call content on the show. And so then 15 minutes after the show, I have a UFO sighting, right? And then 8 minutes after that, tying back into what you just said, these lights in front of me kind of hit the windshield, maybe that was that sort of interdimensional beings that I had just been talking about an hour before. And maybe had, like you said, I hadn't thought about that. I appreciate you mentioning that, that I had put out that invitation, and maybe they heard my call.
Yeah, you invited them. Yeah, that's really interesting. You know, some people that, you know, they would have just really have mentioned about their first experience, my cat jumping on the desk. And a lot of people probably would have left out, you know, seeing those lights outside of the truck.
Yeah, you know, Nick, in thinking about, you know, we took us a couple times to coordinate our scheduling for me being on, but in contemplating what I was going to say in the order and, you know, sort of planning it, I contemplated several times whether or not I wanted to or was going to share that part of the story. And at first, I was going to leave it out. And then I thought, no, you know what, Matt? That may be an important part of the story. And so I think you should include it and let people think or make of it or believe what they want about it. But I think it's an important part of the story.
It is important. Do get that a lot. And sometimes I'll get it while someone will come on and then they reach out to me maybe a couple of weeks later saying I've left something out.
Right.
But yeah, like I tell people, even if it's completely, excuse the pun, alien, what you've come on to say, if there is something which completely doesn't make any sense and sounds completely outlandish, include it because it could have some relevance and it could be important.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad I did. And partly I'm glad I did because of you saying, well, you did put out the invitation and I hadn't contemplated that. That hadn't occurred to me. And I think you might have something there, sir. Well, that kind of is a wrap on my first sighting, and my second sighting is a daytime sighting. So, Nick, I wanted to also share with you my second UFO sighting, which kind of interesting, waited my whole life to have one. Finally had one August of 2022. And then this summer, I think it was probably June of 2023, I actually had a second sighting. And this was a daytime sighting. The little bit of backstory was that I had gone to the store and come back, and I was listening to NPR radio. And sometimes you get this, what do they call it, a driveway moment. You're so engrossed in the story that you don't want to go in the house yet. You want to finish listening to the story. So I'm sitting in my truck, but I do the CE5, Stephen Greer protocol, where you know, try and call in the UFOs and you visualize your location and give them the invitation. So I do that. But because I'm sitting in my truck and the garage is in front of me, I give them specific instructions that, hey, you have to appear outside my driver's side window so I'll be able to see it. You know, don't appear straight overhead. I can't see it through the roof of my truck. And I sit there for 10, 15 minutes and, you know, I don't see anything. So I get out of my truck and I end up going down to the other side of the house and I'm sitting out on the porch that's down there. And the porch has basically I'm kind of in a corner of the porch that's close to the house. So there's one wall going out west and one wall going out north. So I basically have a 90 degree view of the sky and terrain outside, a little bit more, maybe 100 degree view. So I go and I'm sitting down there and I'm like, oh, I told him to appear, you know, in the south. So I better give him an update. And so I kind of meditated and telepathically said, okay, I've moved. I'm down here now. You need to appear out here where I can see you. I'm guessing within 5 to 10 minutes, and I'm looking. I'm actively looking around. I'm being hopeful about it. And all of a sudden, let me back up just a bit. So I can see 90 degrees. I'm looking. Now, most of the way through that 90 degrees, so I'll just call it in the middle, there's a juniper tree about 10 feet in front of me. All of a sudden, coming from behind the view of that tree, appearing from behind it, comes this thing. So that's kind of the odd thing, because I have a lot of view to the left of that, and this thing is big. So it would seem like I should have seen it before it got to the tree and came out of the tree. I should have seen it coming towards it and then seen it come out from behind it, because I was looking, I was paying attention. So it kind of seemingly comes out of nowhere. Similarly, seems to be moving relatively slow. It's a bit hard to describe accurately. But so I got to be general here in my terms, but just understand this is just the closest comparison I can come up with. It basically looks like a really big jet, like those military C-140 transport jets, like those big, huge ones that they open the back and drive tanks into. I mean, this thing is big. And it's fat. It's like really tall. So it's not thin like a commercial plane is, the fuselage of it. So it's you know, roughly airplane shaped. It has a nose, but it's like really blunt, not sharp like a commercial plane. And I don't know exactly what the shape of a C-140 would be on the nose. But it has a blunt nose, this really fat, tall fuselage, and this thing is huge. So I'm up on a hill about 800 feet over the city. So this is at a totally different location than my first sighting. I'm not up in the mountains. I'm down in town. So I'm up on a ridge 800 feet above the city, and this is about only halfway across the city. So it's only 2 miles away from me. It's directly, pretty much straight in line with my view, which tells me it's maybe 500 to 700 feet flying over the city, which is really, really low. And it's flying over like downtown area. It's not over at the airport or anything like that. Really low, going really slow. And because of the distance and size, if this was a C-140, it would have been much smaller in compared to the size that I'm seeing, appearing to see. It would be like 3 times as big as one of those. Now, I don't see any wings, but I've got a straight-on view. So if it had wings, like an airplane, I probably couldn't have seen them at that angle. And then I notice it has a tail, like the tail of a jet. Except there's something really odd about it. It's really tall, 3 times taller, 3 or 4 times taller than what a plane's tail would be. And then it's wider, meaning it goes from the back towards the front longer than usual. So it's got this huge, you know, triangular tail on it. And then I'm also immediately noticing this thing is making no sound, Nick, and I can't hear any other planes. I can't hear any other jets. How could I be seeing this thing that's the size of a giant military plane 2 miles away from me, maximum, 600 feet off the ground, and not hear the roar of its massive jet engines. That's just impossible. And it also, like I said, is it, you know, it's flying along pretty good, but it seems to be going pretty slow. And then the coloring of it was unusual. Somewhere like a dark tan to gray. So keep in mind, it's big enough that if it had like a tail numbers or markings or windows, I would have clearly been able to see them. It had none of that. So no windows, no markings, no colorings or, you know, two-tone white on top and blue on bottom. It was just this one solid color. And as it's moving, I know I'm going to lose sight of it as it goes behind the wall of this porch of the house that I'm kind of sitting back in the corner. So I immediately stand up before it goes behind that so I can keep my eye on the thing, right, and prolong the sighting. I stand up and go to the edge of the porch so I'll be able to maintain my view of it. And I keep my eyes on it the entire time. I never take my eyes off it. And it continues for, you know, another 4 seconds that I can see it or so. And at that point, it does this turn away from me. It would be making a left-hand turn headed towards the north. But there was something odd about this turn and the way it moved. And it's really hard to describe because it doesn't make any sense in terms of a plane or how things normally fly. It seems like it kind of somehow curves, but it's moving more like diagonally. It's changing its direction slowly, but it's not making a curve. I don't know if that makes any sense. It's going a little bit left and a little bit forward and a little bit left on a more like a straight diagonal than like if it was a plane that tipped its wings and is making a slow, gentle curve. So it's turning, but not in a normal fashion. So it does this turn. And the other odd thing when I've thought about this before, I still don't see wings. And if it was a plane and made this pretty sharp turn, I should have seen the wing closest to me pop up into the air, right? But that doesn't happen. And maybe the furthest wing away from me go down. But I never see wings. And now at that point, its engine should be facing me and blasting me. And then it vanishes. Boom, gone. It just disappears. And I'm looking at it. I haven't lost sight of it. It's still really big. It didn't go behind anything. It's a clear day. It's close up. And it just vanished. And I looked and I kept looking and I'm like, is it that disappeared in the sun, went away from the light? It's going to reappear. And I stood there and looked and looked and I'm like, no, it's gone. So I immediately actually kind of jogged back to my cell phone sitting on the table there. And I picked it up and I brought up that app called Flight Radar 24 that you can track the airplanes on. And so I immediately, and it was already on my local area. And so I look and there's no airplanes over the valley whatsoever. I can see there's a couple on the ground at the airport, which is further to the north. And I see one private plane that's all the way across the valley that's heading towards me and towards the airport. I actually, after the thing disappeared, I actually heard that private plane in the distance. So I verified with flight radar that there were no airplanes in the sky over the valley at that time. And I was just like, what was that? My brother was home. Was staying at my brother's house. And later that afternoon, 45 minutes later, I said, man, I just saw another UFO. He's like, what'd you see? And I told him, and he's like, huh, that's weird. And there was another thing that really tell anybody about or think that much about for a while, almost like the first one sort of disappeared from my memory because my brain just couldn't compute it. It still can't. It doesn't know what to do with it. It doesn't make sense. I can't explain it. So it doesn't want to think about it. And it's just, no, we can't make sense of it. Don't want to think about it. So that was my second sighting.
Another interesting one there, Matthew.
Yeah. What was cool about that one, to me, was one, I'd been doing the CE5 protocol. And it freaking worked. And on that note, I had learned about it 5-6 years before the CE5 protocol. And I had tried it a few times and it never worked. And so I kind of was like, and got a little frustrated. I'm like, it might work for some people, doesn't work for me. Interestingly, the summer before when I had my first sighting, in early summer, like June and July, I had actually done the CE5 protocol probably at least 2, maybe 3 times. But again, it never worked. But I don't know if maybe I did it early and they showed up late. They're like, you got to wait till August. But then because I had had a sighting and for some reason, I don't know, wanted another one or something, I had done the protocol and told them exactly where to appear. And then I see this thing that I can't describe, and I don't know what the heck to make of the thing. Coincidence, Nick? I do the CE5 protocol, and 20, 30 minutes later, see this bizarre thing. And the other thing about it, of course, is it was a total daylight sighting. There's not lights in the sky. This is a weird cigar-shaped thing with a huge tail. And if it had wings like an airplane, I sure didn't see them. So,
well, I don't really believe in coincidence. It's very possible, possibly summoned something, but that isn't a strange object. Did you think at the time to pour either of these?
After the first sighting, I did think to report it to MUFON. I wasn't going to call the local sheriff or anything. And then I checked out the MUFON website and because I also wanted to investigate how many sightings we have around in the area. In the valley where I saw the second sighting, we actually get a lot of UFO sightings around here. And it's not that big of a population, maybe 100,000 people live here. And our local UFO Facebook group has 15,000 members. Wow. And everybody's we see them around here all the time. And interestingly, you're probably familiar with Skinwalker Ranch. We're probably, as the crow flies, 70 miles away from that, so we're kind of in a not too far from kind of some hot spot paranormal UFO activity area. But when I looked up MUFON, I was really disappointed in trying to check out sightings in the area. Their stuff was 6 months old. They had 1 month of data. It didn't have details. I was like, what happened to your online database? And I'm like, if you're not going to put your stuff out to people, nobody's going to see my report. And so I thought about maybe the other organization, the National UFO Reporting Network. I might, go to them. But no, I haven't done any reports on it. And on the first sighting, I'd like to go back up there to that area and take photographs of exactly where I saw it. And do some measurements and calculations. And then I can also do use a Photoshop editor and take the actual photo and then put in the lights so you could see the size and the position instead of doing a hand drawing. And I do want to add on that first one where it was flying, because I'm kind of on a ridge, it does kind of drop down into a valley there and drops down maybe 800 feet. But that valley's really narrow. So I think that craft was actually flying up that very narrow valley. So, it wasn't necessarily 200 feet above the ground. It was 200 feet above me. So maybe it was 1,000 feet above the ground. But it was much closer to the edge of the valley that I was on than like flying down the middle of the valley. And that valley is so narrow at the bottom, you could throw a rock from one side to the other. I mean, it's not like a broad valley. So, yeah, I haven't made any reports yet, but I thought about doing drawings for both of them and maybe doing some reporting.
Yeah, it's important. You know, if anyone has a sighting, just report it. I mean, I understand about MUFON. A lot of their information can be difficult to get hold of. If you're a member, then obviously that's a little bit different. My preferred organization is the National UFO Reporting Center. Peter Davenport does a great job with that. And plus, you know, you can check the area. You can check if there is any recent sightings around there or the roughly the same time as you had your own sighting. So I kind of prefer it in a way. And it's never too late. Even if your sighting, your experience was 30 years ago, just report it, because there could be someone else out there which is also trawling the databases and trying to make a connection to their own sighting. Not just handy for people, but it's also handy for researchers that are also trying to dig up some information too.
Yeah, I was talking about how much activity and sightings we have in this valley and town that I live in. And, you know, this summer, Nick, I would sit out at night on the same porch and got a great view out there. And I would see these lights I can't explain. They just appeared like I'm sitting there looking at the sky. And a bright light would appear like a star out of nowhere. It would just light up and real bright, Venus bright. And 1 second, 1001, and then just fade out, gone. And then 5 seconds later, a short distance away in the sky, another one would do that. And then 2 seconds later, another one light up. And then maybe 15, 20 seconds later, another one would light up. They never stayed lit. They didn't move. They kind of all appeared in different areas, but well, in the same general area, but not in the same position. And I watched that every single night for maybe 10 days, and then it stopped. And I'd go out there every night of summer, and I never saw it. It also seemed to happen at the same time, around 10:30. But it's not something I could probably get a good video of. And then if I did, what are you going to see? A black sky and then a little white light appears. People be like, oh, Photoshop, fake, doctored, CGI. I mean, it's not going to show anything. So I'm like, yeah, okay, that's weird. Probably a UFO. I don't know. I wanted to see if there's some weird thing where sometimes satellites will reflect the sun, but they're spinning, so then they go on and off. But I don't think that fits. But yeah, it's almost common around here.
You kind of get put into a different bracket than just your regular observer because you have aircraft experience and you do have a knowledge of aircraft recognition. So you kind of know what you're looking at. You understand about distance and how things can be confusing. You know, we know seeing things at angles and the certain lighting conditions.
Yeah, and I studied astronomy. I know my stars really well. So I'm out, you know, I can be out at night and there's like a bright light and I'm like, oh, that's Venus. You know, I was, oh, that's Jupiter. Oh, that's Sirius, you know, which kind of blinks and changes colors and it's got some redshift and appears to wobble. A lot of people that think they're seeing a UFO, they're seeing Sirius. So I know my sky pretty well. And also, I actually had a NASA scholarship in college and had space studies and went, got to go to a couple different NASA centers. I got to see the Mars rover, one of the Mars rovers before it went to Mars, and got to stand 15 feet away from it. I keep up on, you know, astronomy and NASA stuff. And so I'm pretty aware of like satellites and, you know, the space station and Starlink. So I try to be pretty rational and methodical and rule things out before I just jump to the conclusion, oh, there's a UFO, it's an alien ship. You know, I try to think about what I'm seeing and go through a checklist and figure it out. I thought I was seeing, well, something I didn't understand, so and couldn't identify, and I thought it was a UFO. And it after a couple of days of studying it and seeing it multiple times, I was able to determine it's a satellite. But I was kind of excited about this thing. I think I'm seeing another UFO. Well, a couple days later, I figured out, nope, that's a satellite.
Do you have an interest in the paranormal? Then you'll love the UnxNetwork.com. The X is your streaming audio and video for everything supernatural, strange, and mysterious, like UFOs, Bigfoot, ghosts, and so much more. From hosts like Clyde Lewis, Whitley Strieber, Micah Hanks, and Christina Gomez. Visit the UnxNetwork.com show page for a complete list of all the paranormal programs you'll find on the X. Be sure to follow us on Twitter for updates at KUNXDB. Follow our Facebook group, UnX Network. Find the podcast on Spotify, iHeart, Audible, and Apple Podcast. It's time.
It's new.
It's the X.
Realize, you know, I mean, there are so many satellites up there at the minute, and it seems to be that SpaceX just pumping another 24 every couple of days, so that, you know, there's a lot of activity up there. But satellites just continue moving. They go in one straight linear path. When people see lights which they think is a satellite, and then it goes off and makes a strange turn, it goes off at a different angle, chances are that wouldn't be a satellite.
It changes speed, makes 90 degree turns. Yeah, that's not a satellite.
Definitely not a satellite. And I know there is some very bright satellite. I know there's another satellite that's gone up within the last year. I forget the name of it, but I know it's a lot brighter than the ISS. Because when the ISS comes over, that's very bright. And it looks like it's very low, especially if you've never seen it before. But again, if it's moving on a linear path, chances are it will be a satellite.
Yeah, this one I was observing, a little interesting. First of all, like I said, I have a habit of hanging out on this porch and stargazing. And so I'm real familiar with, you know, the stars that are up there and used to the scene. And, you know, you get to recognize them and things like that. And this one that I started seeing maybe a week ago, I'm like, that's not a star. That doesn't belong there. And I was seeing it, you know, in early nighttime, and that's not usually there. That's not a star. I don't know what that is, but it seemed to be really stationary. It wasn't moving at the speed a satellite would. And so that's why I was curious about it. I'm like, it's not a star, and it's not moving like a satellite or the space station. So that's what got me real curious about it. And then because it appeared repeatedly at the exact same location, I was like, okay, maybe this is a geostationary satellite. But then it was weird. When I got up early for the show this morning, I saw it, and it was a bit higher, but it was, you know, if you went straight down vertically, it was in the exact same position. So longitude would be exactly the same. And the brightness was the same. And I was, oh, there's that satellite. And I'm like, wait a minute, it's 5 o'clock in the morning. And usually I see that thing even lower at 10 o'clock at night. So that can't be if it's a geostationary satellite. So if it's a satellite, it's not geostationary. But then I continued to watch it and monitor it, and it's not going at normal satellite speed. So I'm considering that it's sort of like a spy satellite or a mapping satellite. So it's in this interesting speed to where, you know, it's mapping. So at one time it might be over the United States during the day and one time at night or different times of the day. And I did recently hear, I think North Korea just put up a satellite. I don't know, 3-4 days ago or something. I don't know if it's coincidence, but seems to me it's probably a military satellite.
Yeah, there is a lot of stuff going up at the minute. Not all the satellites are in the same height, are they? Some are way further right, some have lower orbit. When you mentioned Flight Radar 24, which is one of my favorite apps, I should really put this as a list of apps to use on the website. But to those of the listeners that don't know, if you've seen something in the sky and you want to make sure it's not a plane or a helicopter, download Flight Radar 24. It is a good app, and I've been using it for years. With the free version, you can actually go back in time, I think about maybe 2 to 3 weeks. So if you saw something last Saturday at a certain time, put in the details, and then you can look back. I think for the paid version, you get months, I think, in itself is a great app. And then at least that way you can say, you know, it's not a plane. Of course, some military flights, they won't necessarily be registered on this app. And I think some police helicopters won't show up sometimes. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Another good app is The Sky Tonight. I was asked about this the other day, and you can basically just hold it up, and whichever direction you point, it will tell you what's in that direction. So it'll tell you, you know, where the moon is, and you get to learn a little bit.
Yeah, those are two great ideas. And if you hadn't mentioned the, you know, Star Tracker apps, star map things, I was just about to mention it, because those are the two things that if you're interested in UFO stuff, or even if you're not, they have those on your phone, they're free. And then if you see something, you know, you can, you know, like when I had my daytime sighting, I was on my cell phone looking at the plane activity within 15 seconds. So I could rule out that it was a jet or any aircraft. But between the two, you see a light in the sky and you can, you know, you put up this Star Tracker thing and let's say it's not moving and you point it right at it and it's like, oh, that's Venus. You know, funny story of they had, I don't know, in the last year, I think they had a major blackout in Los Angeles and the police station got flooded with like 1,000 calls of this UFO report. You know, so it turns out, of course, it's Venus, but they have such bad light pollution in the city there, the people had never seen Venus. So they thought it was a UFO.
It's understandable. I mean, even if you go into the really, really old UFO books, you know, from the 70s and 80s, even before that, you know, that's near enough the first thing on the list. Check it's not Venus, because it could be what you're seeing is Venus. A lot of people, you know, they have no interest in the sky, you know, not necessarily saying that people are always looking at their phones and focused on something else. I don't think people look up like they used to. And people that live in the city, you don't see the stars because of the pollution and that. So when, you know, when you do get a lot of reports, people are generally seeing something which, you know, is usually pretty natural or man-made. Like I said, it is understandable. It does happen, but there is a percentage of these sightings which have absolutely no explanation.
Right. And, you know, that's probably a message I would like to get out to people is look up more, look at the sky. And even sometimes in the day, it's surprising the number of daytime UFO sightings, but, you know, look up at night. I enjoy the stars and, you know, or get out of town and enjoy them. Or even if you can't see the stars, hang out in your backyard in the summer and look up, because if you can't see the stars and you see some bright thing, when you can't see any stars, okay. But the thing I've noticed is after my first sighting and then spending this whole summer doing a heck of a lot more looking up and sky watching, man, I've seen a ton of stuff. And you kind of start to get the idea like, man, these things are flying around all the time. We just don't notice them because we're not looking. You know, everybody's looking at their cell phones and hanging out inside and nobody's out looking at the night sky. Yeah, I think they're more common than you might think. And you got a better chance of seeing one if you're looking up.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think probably preaching to the converted already, because, you know, listeners of the show, I guarantee that's exactly what they're doing. I must admit, I do say at the end of the show, keep watching the skies every week, which I must add, I got that from the 1950s black and white film, The Thing. Keep watching the skies.
Right.
Someone did ask me about that the other day. Our listeners, you know, I'm sure just about all of them will spend their time, you know, when they go out dog walking or they, you know, they're on the way to work early in the morning, taking a look up, taking the sky in, I reckon.
Those are my two tales and two experiences I'm thankful for. Don't know quite what to make of them, but like a lot of people say that have had a sighting is, you know, I know what I saw. And it may not be that you know exactly what you saw, but you know what it was not. Nope, it wasn't an airplane. You know, it's like, I know what I saw. you don't have to believe anymore. You know, if you haven't seen one, you got to kind of believe in it or think maybe it's true or probably true or whatever you're at. But once you've seen one, had your experience, you're like, okay, now I know. I don't have to believe or take it on faith. Now I know.
When you hear other people's accounts now, you're not just kind of taking it at face value. You are thinking, chances are, this is what they saw.
Right. Well, finally, in the day and age where, you know, the U.S. government and public congressional hearings have come out and been like, yep, they're real. And yeah, we got them on video with multiple sensors. And that is indeed our video, you know, the Go Fast and the gimbal and the Tic Tac. And there are other reports, and they're just like, yeah, we don't know exactly what they are, but they're a thing. And so when the U.S. government that's covered it up and won't say crud about it for 70 years finally comes out and says, yep, it's a thing. Well, that even the most skeptical person, or, you know, can start going, okay, there's something here. Now the people that used to be the, you know, crazies or tinfoil hats or got a hard time for telling their stories, they get taken more seriously. And there's not as much being scared to tell it or being scorned or ridiculed. It's more acceptable and normal. And that's a good thing. So that encourages people to come out and talk about these things. You know, there's a great story, amazing experience that a guy had 50 years ago and never told anybody. Yeah, I mean, he was just afraid of how he was going to be treated. And then he finally, since society's changed and warmed up, he was like, okay, I guess I can tell my story without being considered a weirdo now.
Then that's exactly what's happened. I've had new listeners come into the show which had no interest in it before. And yes, as soon as the government came out saying all this, and it's then becoming a little bit more acceptable. And people weren't really interested in the subject, you know, and now talking about it. So it is a good thing. I think things are probably going to continue being as slow as they are. Every week there seems to be a new revelation that's coming out. Someone else that's whistleblowing. There's definitely something they're hiding. And I think, you know, it goes, you know, straight to the top. There's a lot of factions involved and a lot of secrets, which I'd imagine people don't really want let out. If there's another country other than the United States or the UK that is going to come forward and be a lot more open about, you know, possibly things that they have, I think in turn that the US will have to come out, do their best to come out first, because you don't want to be someone that's, you know, coming out second, if you understand my drift.
Right.
Kind of reminds me of, you know, the space race between the states and the old Soviet Union. That's exactly what that was. It was important to be first.
Yeah. And, you know, along those lines of what you're talking about, I don't know if you've heard this, but so in the United States, in this year's defense budget authorization, which got delayed for, you know, political reasons, but is just about to be passed, or it's right around this time, or they got to get it done. And I've actually read the parts of it that they have a whole section of new legislation that's like, literally it's entitled UAP disclosure. And so it's all about really having this legislated program and putting into law that military people with inside knowledge of like reverse engineering, downed craft, all that stuff, have the materials, know where the materials are, or even into subcontractors, you know, that work with the government and they farm this stuff out, you're free to come forward and tell us this stuff and we'll give you protection. But then it also mandates that if they have this knowledge, they're required by law to inform Congress and say, yeah, I know about this stuff. We worked on this reverse engineering program, or I work at a company that has this exotic material, you know, or whatever. Like, they can be penalized and put in jail and stuff if they don't. And so they get this, like, I think it's a 90-day grace period. And so it's like, you got a free pass to come forward and we're going to protect you and you get immunity and everything like that. And I don't remember if it's 3 months or 6 months. And then after that, if you haven't and you continue to withhold it, you're breaking the law. And I think they want to use that to get some whistleblowers and find out where some of this stuff might be, because I think they pretty much want to go in and repossess it and be like, this is government property. It shouldn't be stored at Lockheed Martin or wherever, right? But it's a very slow thing. Like, it goes into effect next year, and then the general legislation does. It doesn't apply until 2024. And then these clauses on the UAP disclosure doesn't start until 3 months or 6 months into the year, and then they get this 6-month grace period. And like, so the actual fruits of that really aren't going to be, I think, until the beginning of 2025. But they're actually writing this stuff into laws. They seem to be, it seems like to me, the Congress is a little upset that things have been kept from them and they can't get at them and get told about them. And so they're like, all right, we're going to write a law. We're going to get to the bottom of this.
You know, for those of us that have been interested in the subject since we were kids, you know, so many, many years now, one thing we've had to be is patient. And we've always known, a lot of us experienced already, but we've always had that knowledge that we know they have it. They have this tech. We know they do. You know, this isn't just people mis-IDing things. These report these objects. So they have this tech definitely hidden behind tape after tape. And, you know, the people in Congress and even those higher up just have no idea, because it's so compartmentalized. You know, it's very difficult. There's someone which knows a little piece and there's someone knows a little piece of that. I'm optimistic. I can be very doubting of pretty much anything that comes out of any country's government, but I'm a little bit more optimistic than I was a couple of years ago. That's for sure. I think interesting things are ahead, hopefully sooner rather than later. But this stuff is definitely there, and they have a lot more than they've certainly let on so far.
I agree. Well, Nick, it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share my stories. And, you know, if I have another one, you'll be the first guy I call, man.
We are glad to hear it. Matt, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that. Two very, very interesting sightings. And did always say you've always wanted to see a UFO since you were a kid. And now you have.
Yeah. Ask and thou shalt receive, or be careful what you ask for.
Depends on which way you look at it.
All right. Well, we'll catch up again sometime. I might just drop you an email sometime and say hello.
Yeah, keep in contact, Matt.
Okay, sounds good, bud.
Great, Matt. You enjoy the rest of your day, all right, and we will talk soon.
Okay, thanks.
Bye for now, Matt. That's all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on X, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter that you'd like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com, or you can reach out to me via the contact page on my website, ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Matt for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.